tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Johnson.
AfterBuzz TV. The destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Mary Jane! Everybody to another episode of AfterBuzz TV's recap of Being Mary Jane, season 3, episode 3, Being Kara.
Episode 4.
I'm so excited about the show, I forgot. Episode 4, Being Kara. I'm one of your hosts, Megan Thomas, at Meg Scoop on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Periscope. My cousin's back.
Yes! Hey, I'm Fania Thomas. You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and whatever else. I can't remember right now.
Yes, yes. And you ladies are?
I'm Tiana Hobson. Sorry, I'm looking for my camera. It's over there.
Ready for her close-up.
I'm Tiana Hobson, and you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, at the Tiana Hobson.
And I'm Char Jocel, and you can follow me at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at Char Sesso. Oh, and YouTube too, Char Sesso.
Yes, and make sure you use the hashtag for all of your tweets, ABTVBMJ, because Char's checking.
Yes, I am checking.
Yes, she'll shout you out if
like
you guys
live, are like right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. I love a good live tweet.
We love your comments, by the way. Thank you guys for following us and watching us and. We're going to shout some of you guys out.
We're going to shout out some of last week's commenters. Thank you so much for your love. Outcaster Jolly, Monique Johnson, Roomba Toomba.
Ooh, I like that
Trixie
name.
Trixie Allen, Mimi Smith, and Beautiful Me. Thank you guys for commenting, and keep commenting, and we'll keep responding, or Megan will. I tried to get on there today and respond to someone. I was like, Megan took care of everyone.
You know what I'm saying?
She was on it.
We tag team on this. Yes. We tag team. We love your comments. So let's get into episode 4. This episode was all about Kara, which I'm happy about. I like when they show flashes of Kara's life.
Yes.
It's kind of like they took a page from Orange is the New Black. You know how they dedicate an episode for a character.
Yes.
And Kara, this is season 3. We needed more into
We've seen, you know, the messiness of her divorce and her husband getting the kids. We've seen, what else? Who else?
Pretty much work. Gael. How she feels about the Latin community. Mm-hmm. And
her beef, you know, her little minuscule arguments with Mary Jane.
Right. But we never get to see, you know, a lot of the... We've seen her parents, too. Her sister.
I was just going to say, but y'all, tonight, she gave me anxiety.
Right!
Like, I was sitting there watching the episode, freaking out, like, oh my gosh, how's she going to do everything? Yeah. How is this going to happen? What's going to work? I feel like I can be just like her sometimes, but yeah, I'll let Megan.
I still want to know what those pills were that she was popping.
Girl, she probably like,
they never
got
to those.
I don't know. What is the pills that people be taking just for that?
It's either an upper or a downer.
Maybe a downer or something.
I feel like she was taking caffeine pills.
Right. I feel like.
Now, what do psychiatrists.
Like Xanax?
Isn't it Adderall?
Xanax. That's what I think it is. It's probably Xanax.
I'm thinking about what Carlton was on. Like, you know, Fresh Prince. You know, when Carlton was popping the pills and he, you know.
I love that you went with Carlton and I was thinking of Jesse Spano.
So we see, of course, that the episode opens up with Kara having relations with Gael. It was steamy. I thought it was Mary Jane at first. I was like, okay, Mary Jane. Oop. Kara.
This was a sexy episode.
It was about
time that she got some. Well, I mean, her relationships are developing, and usually it's high stress. It's all work-related, but we got to see, like, how she's interacting with her kids and their part of her life, and more of, what's her, John?
They
actually had a nice interaction as opposed to, like, fighting, which I thought was refreshing.
It was.
So she deserved to get some.
She did, yeah. And then we also see that she's late and to the meeting, her kids' meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she has a lot of anxiety. Her life is just very, I don't know. Like, I felt what she was going through because there's times in my life where it's been crazy like that.
There's not enough hours in the day.
Yes, that's not a good feeling in your brain. You do feel like the world is going to explode and you're just going to, you yell at everyone. Mm-hmm. You yell at the old lady crossing the crosswalk in front of you. Oh, that's just me.
And no, John did make a comment about Superwoman, and I wrote down, ladies have a tendency to have a superwoman right. complex. Like, we can do it all. We can take mm-hmm. it all on. We can be a career woman. We can be a mom. We can be a lover. We can be a girlfriend.
Right, right.
And be cute and be 112 pounds, hair done, makeup
really.
Beat.
No,
but
really.
It's not reality. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not possible. And I think a lot of times we set ourselves up to be like, we can do this. And yes. I think we saw her kind of, well, we did. She broke.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. My mom says that I have a problem with saying no to things. Mm. And that is my problem, and I feel like Kara has that problem as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where she doesn't
that.
Say no to anything. She thinks she can do it all, and she just has to keep going.
Right, 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 right. So then we see that Kara, she has a moment for her breakdown, which is a lot of mom's guilt. I think a lot of moms have that. None of us are moms here, but I'm sure.
I beg your pardon. I have a four-legged child.
<Just kidding. laughs> I mean, I do, but...
I'm sure you felt the mom's guilt then. I'm sorry. My bad.
25%, because she has to be walked and fed.
Right, right. True, true. So, of course, she's got the guilt, because she can't always be there. She's super busy with her job. So she tries to be in her son's lives a little more, especially with Scotty having dyscalculia.
I think I might have dyscalculia.
Why?
I had severe math anxiety. You know what? I was fine when we were doing addition. Subtraction gave me a little, like, I can remember this. Oh, but when math minute came with multiplication, ooh. And we had to do long division in fifth grade, oh my gosh. I could crank out one hell of an essay. I could crank out one hell of a research paper. I just kind of abandoned math. Even to this day, I have a little anxiety. I'm always pulling out the iPhone, or I still have my TI 83 plus from, you know,
ooh,
high school.
Your Texas, yes. Texas instrument.
I do. Girl. But what I was going to say, what I thought was interesting about with Kara and being late for the meeting, when did they start having parent-teacher conferences in the a.m.? I always thought that was a PM thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It was because the kids were going to school early.
Right, and being Mary Jane was Mary Jane was upset with her for not being there because it clashed. And I was like, that's kind of odd. I always remember my parents going at like 6:30 p.m.
I feel like this was a special meeting specifically.
Oh, for the dyscalculia.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it was maybe something that was planned for, you know, during a recess break or something like that, where the teacher would then do it in the middle of the day as opposed to the
Gotcha.
Day.
Right. I didn't think about that.
I feel like every time a child has something wrong with this generation, there's a word for it. Like, there's a diagnosis and a scientific reason as to why.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't... Is that necessarily bad? Because in the past, I think these issues probably were already around. ADD, ADHD, autism, all this stuff was around. You just never had a name.
I think it's 50-50. Because a lot of times people throw medication at it to fix it.
Right.
Whereas, how about the kid is just experiencing some anxiety from being an adolescent? His parents are separated. Right. He might miss his mom. He's wetting the bed. Like, obviously, like, naturally,
our
body...
You want to get rid of the
dog. Right. Like, our body naturally goes through emotions, and I just, like, I'm sorry, what is it called?
Dyscalculia.
Never heard of it.
Me either.
Until tonight.
But it's like,
if
you think about it, there's been actors who come out, like Tom Cruise, I think, is one of them, who grew up with dyslexia, but there's no name for it back then.
Right.
So he struggled
right.
his whole life not knowing what was wrong. So at least now they're saying, hey, you know what? Kids who are having anxiety about this and can't get it right, there's a cause.
There's a name for it.
There's a science
which
behind
is important,
why
you know?
Can't do
that's
this.
Important.
Yeah, it's a
that's
thin
important.
Line. Because then it's like,
but
oh.
I see what you're saying, too.
I mean, I don't think this is anything like everyone gets a participation trophy.
Okay, good. Because I can't stand that
like,
ish.
I don't think we're there yet.
Winners win, losers lose.
Right.
That's how life is.
That's life for you. And so then, with her guilt, Kara decides she wants her sons to come and stay at her house a little more. And I'm like, oh, you don't have the time, honey. But she feels like she can. And you see that with her going off on them about the dog eating the shoes, son's wet in the bed, like everything. And so much so that she has to apologize. And I think when you get that wound up that you make your children have anxiety and then you have to apologize
to
them.
Dad.
Right. And she's mad.
You know, I think that in that instance, everything, it's like that, I think it's a commercial, when life comes at you fast.
Right.
I feel like it was that thing because, I mean, in fairness, she was, you know, woken up by the dog, the golden retriever, licking her face. And she just literally woke up. You know how it can be sometimes when we wake up to chaos.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, he wet the bed, the dog done chewed my shoe, and my eldest son is being disrespectful. I feel like Kara does have some sort of disconnect with her children.
Yeah.
Because there is, watching it, I was like, not in my house. Like, some of, like, the language and the tone used between her kids and herself, it just was like, there was disrespect. You guys can disagree, but there was
disrespect. in a way, like, only to see it from his side, because I agree with you, mm-hmm. I would not have been able to get away with any sort of attitude in my mother's house.
In your face.
But if you think about it, like, his mom, it doesn't feel like since the separation she has really been around. Right. Exactly. So he's probably still holding on to anger from that and mm-hmm. acting out in a way of, who are you to tell me what to do and you have not been here.
And he's a teenager. You know, all teenagers are jerks. Right. And they're probably still trying to get to know each other.
Right. Yeah. Right. And his emotions is how he's feeling and how mm-hmm. he's able to communicate them. And also, he's interested in girls right now. He's not uh-huh. interested in, like, having a relationship bonding and building that with mom. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like it might be too far gone.
Ain't nobody got time for
it. It might be.
I don't know.
Maybe. I think there's always time, you know, to get that together with your kids. He's still in high school, you know.
But I feel like there's a disconnect as far as them not knowing each other. So to just throw them in the same under the same roof together, it's going to be a little friction.
There is, absolutely.
I need to know why. I need more.
What do you mean?
I understand, aside from being a mom and being a working person, like, where did all this rage or where is this emotion coming from?
No, I think it comes from the fact, like, I don't know, I've had this anxiety before too, where I feel like you have too much on your plate, you feel like you can't do it all. And she says later in her meltdown with Mary Jane that it's, you know, she's been an A student her life and now she feels like a C student. Okay. That's the same with me. Like, when I feel like I'm failing in life, mm-hmm. I just lose it. Then I got to remember to call on Jesus and then I'll be
like, what are you doing? I just feel like she's doing well. Maybe because I feel like she's doing fine. Like, she's not a crackhead. But she got a job.
I feel like her breakdown centered around her feeling a sense that she felt, because motherhood and marriage, they ain't for everybody.
No.
Right.
And
but society tells you that they should be for everybody.
That's what her rent, she stood in line and she had a second child because, mm-hmm. oh, you all make pretty babies. And she kind of, you know, like, fell in the flow of that.
Right.
But I felt like, again, being Mary Jane, you guys know that I love this show because it forces conversation. And that is something, again, that I think that needs to be talked about.
Right.
That marriage and motherhood, they're just not for everyone. And Oprah.
Right. And it's so sad what she says, because, you know, when she's like, I wish I would have never had kids, and that's like, everybody's like, clutch your pearls, you just said that you wish you would have never had your children. And but she makes a good point, because raising and loving your children are two different things.
Come on.
You know what I mean?
Come
she
on.
Here she is, she wants to be the loving mother that spends time with her kids, mm-hmm. but she also wants them to go to good schools, have, you know, their bellies fed, good homes, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of tough, mm-hmm. because she's playing the role that a lot of men play.
Yeah,
if you think about it, she's playing child support.
That. She's good mom, but she lacks a nurturing aspect.
Right, yes. Right.
Ooh. See, I think it's brave of her. I applaud women who can say, you know, maybe I should not have had kids, and also acknowledge that, you know, I still want what's best for them, and I'm trying my best, because, I mean, I think we all have, I have family members who have kids who probably should never have had kids.
Oh, yeah.
Will not remotely admit that they should not have had the kids, that they do not give a flying crap about.
Right.
You know, and so it's better for someone to be honest and at least, mm-hmm. hey, here is someone who does, you know, care and can take care of you. And Kara's not trying to get rid of her kids,
no.
even though she said this, which, you know, she still wants the best for them. So I'm just like, you know, good for you for admitting it. I have a friend who's pregnant right now, and she told me she never wanted kids. So when she said she's pregnant, we're all like, oh, like.
But you know, that's typically, you know, how it happens.
No, she said being pregnant and wanting children are two different things. I still don't want a baby. This is happening.
So,
and then now I'm embracing it and I'm going with it, but it was never in my plan to have a child.
Which is a quote from tonight's show. What was the quote, Fania?
Oh, yes, I wrote it down because it's a part of my life right now.
Yes.
Okay? Let go of the life you planned.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To accept the one that is waiting for you.
Exactly.
Which makes sense. And to bounce back quickly to what Tiana was saying, now that you put it into perspective, you guys know that I'm always threading things together. I think back, Kim Kardashian loves having babies, but she hates being pregnant. She said publicly that pregnancy is the worst experience of her life, but she loves Little North.
And there's, I can think
there's
of
other
worse
one
things.
Due on Christmas. I mean, you know it's different for everybody's body.
It is. When you saw them cankles that she had.
Well, but then, we all can't afford to have a nutritionist, a dietitian, a plastic surgeon, and everything on standby after.
Dermatologist.
So I do not cry for those.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do not cry.
We don't cry for them, but we do cry for some of the people on the show. I feel bad for Kara and her kids. Because she's really trying to do the best thing. You know, when she goes to MJ's house and she's just like, can you help me with these brownies or not? Like, that was a real...
I feel bad for her.
That's so sad. Because
those were from scratch.
Girl, yes.
And she burned them. I was like, oh, shit.
Have you ever had something happen where you, like, clearly something is not that bad, but because it's the last straw, you, like, lose your ish.
And it's not about what, like, it's not about the brownies. It's about the bigger picture of trying to do it all, which in that scene was, which was so great. Like, it was a tailspin of her on the computer, her doing brownies, her texting.
Talking to her man, baking brownies and looking up dyscalculia.
Yeah, that happened to me the other day at work, actually. It was the Wi-Fi. I had a deadline. I had to submit credentials for something. The window was closing, and I couldn't get on the Wi-Fi, and I just started crying.
And you're like, and is everything okay? I can't get on the Wi-Fi.
Like, sometimes you do have to do that. I've excused myself and removed my lashes and let out a good cry. And then, you know, went to the bathroom and pieced myself back together. And got, sometimes you have to do that.
Right. You got to let it out. And good thing that Mary Jane is such a good friend for her because she, you know, it's late. Mary Jane's trying to get a job back, you know?
Yes.
And here
she is.
I love
their friendship, though.
Right. They have a genuine friendship because Kara can really vent her feelings about should have never had kids. Like, you can't really say that to a lot of people.
No, that's honest. Certain pieces. And especially without them judging you.
Right.
And holding it over your head and bringing it up later in conversations when the intensity has died down.
Well, in fairness, Mary Jane got a whole bunch of stuff going on and Kara never throws it in her face. And she never holds it against Mary Jane that Mary Jane's so self-centered. And she can be a little...
Self-centered.
Self-centered. It's like, it just kind of like she knows. Like, she, this girl don't mean no harm.
Well, right, but it's a little rough when you say to somebody, I wish I would have never had kids. You say that to somebody who wants to have kids.
I didn't think
about
that.
You know what
that.
I'm saying? And I, when she said that, I was like, ooh, not to me.
I didn't think about that.
She's trying to have a baby.
Ooh. That's, but you know what? It wasn't from a malicious. She wasn't being malicious.
Yeah.
It was her in her natural raw state and being honest, which a lot of women think that.
Right. But they don't say
it wasn't in a na-na-na boo-boo type way.
Right.
It was her literally breaking down. And Mary Jane, she understood that. Right. She saw that.
And she put those brownies together. You better do that.
Oh, they look so good. And they were like Pauletta squares.
That was like Pauletta cooking that, honey. That wasn't no Mary Jane. Pauletta can make some brownies.
The sugar sprinkle.
Yeah,
the extra miles.
And they were not, like I said, they were not brownies for kids because they were fat brownies.
Oh, I thought you meant they were a different kind of brownies.
No, I'm saying the kids are going to be wired all day. They eat one of those squares. They're going to be full and wired all day.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, we see that Kara again has to cancel on Gael. Sad, as always. And she tells him that they shouldn't be together. And that, of course, they have one last hurrah in the car.
That was steamy.
At work in the parking lot.
I was like, wait a minute, because I feel like I've seen that parking structure before. And I feel like there are cameras on the roof of that parking structure.
I feel like there might be. There's going to be cameras around. There's going to be all that stuff.
Which ups the ante of, like, the thrill of it all, of, you know, maybe possibly being caught.
That scene was so racy. I had to retweet Vivica Fox. She was watching in live time, like kind of like what we were.
Right.
Vivica was even like, God damn, you know, like that. Right. She loved that car scene.
Right. What do you guys think about this? Because Kara says that she can't be with Gael anymore. Obviously, she wants to spend more time with her children. Then she tells John that they should move back in. Was she right on both accounts?
So when they had their first conversation and before she made the brownies and she started pouring them wine and they were sitting there having a civil conversation, part of me was like, oh my gosh, are they about to get drunk
right now?
And then, you know, that didn't happen. But then she goes back to him and says, we should move back in together. All signs are leading to them
getting back together right now.
And she blamed it on expenses. It'll cut our expenses in half.
Like, I don't think right now she's thinking I want to be back together with him.
Right.
But I feel that coming back together, getting their family back is one can lead to the bridging
like she's
that.
She's craving that.
I agree. And I feel like she's grasping in a way to get some balance or fix in her life. She's not rational just yet because she did experience a very serious emotion and breakage. But, I mean, it sounds good. And it's good for the kids. And it sounds like a great idea.
But no. She said it sounds like a bad idea. But they don't have a choice. That's what she said.
They don't have a choice.
You have choices.
You do have choices. I get why she would do that. And honestly, with her not being home as much, it probably is a good idea. But now that you have an understanding, because before there was the pressure of being a wife in a marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was added to the fact that now we got to take care of these kids and my job is stressful. Now it's like, okay, it's a roommate situation. You upstairs, I'm downstairs, we're taking care of these kids.
And she was paying two house notes, basically.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
That's why she went off and she was like, that is not your father's house. That is... Yes.
She had to wheel it back in.
And all he said was dad's house, and it was a trigger for her.
She went off on Matter Soul?
Yes.
Oh. I was like, okay.
Shout out to Daniela Alonzo.
I know. I was like, you got these spicy Latinas in here. And so a little bit of information is revealed. Kara does say that Matter Soul has been having relations with Greg.
I clutched my pearl.
You believe it? You believe it?
No, I think it's true because the fact that Marisol didn't really, she was just like, what? What are you talking? Like, it would have been, I think there would have been more of a reaction and the fact that we didn't know anything about this before this episode. Mm-hmm. And the way she said it to her was kind of like, girl, we already know. Like, I've already seen this. I'm like,
and we didn't know it because the way that the show is framed, Mary Jane had been to work, so neither have we. We've been with Mary Jane. We've been with Mary Jane through her stuff.
She was a little shady with that Telemundo line. Like, that was a little like, oh. Because I feel like every now and then she's like all about brown pride, and then she's like, no. Like, when Gael came at her, I think he was like speaking to her in Spanish.
She was just like, no.
It was just because she leaned in with it and led with her finger. This isn't Telemundo.
Right, and that was Kara, not being Latina at the moment. I was like, girl. But then you could hear the New York Puerto Rican coming out of her. Yeah, I was like, go ahead, Lisa Vidal. Yeah. That's you. That's you coming out.
Yeah, I heard that. It reminded me of, like, Law and Order or something.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see in upcoming episodes with Kara and the kids and John and her job. We'll see what's going on with that.
And I was just starting to like Gael, so I really hope that he's still around.
Hold on, wait a minute. Was it you that said he was a serial killer last season?
No.
Was that Fania?
That was Ashley Gray.
That was not me.
That was Ashley
Gray. Oh, it was Ashley? Okay.
She sat across the table and I said, ooh, girl, what you talking about? You better take it back.
Somebody else didn't like him. Was it you, Fania? It was you.
I said I may have said that he wasn't as attractive as my cutty buddy.
No, you didn't say that.
Stand
no, you agree that he was probably a serial killer. I was like, what kind of show was this?
I will say that when he came in studio last season and we got to talk to him, Ashley Gray did change her attitude. She was like, wait a second, now, you know what? I thought you were kind of creepy on Kara for a while, but now I like you.
So. Right. Well, let us know what you guys think about the episode so far. Make sure you use the hashtag ABTVBMJ, and you can also write in the comments below. Mm-hmm. We love your comments. We respond to them, even if they're mean. We don't care.
We
still will talk with you guys as well. So, where else can people watch us?
Fania? Well, they can watch us or our affiliate, BHL, the Black Hollywood Live, and all things African American. And I'm really bad at reading from scripts.
Oh my gosh, this is horrible.
I'm more off the cuff kind of gal. Anyhow, let me just read it down to you guys because it's really good stuff. Let me tell you why. It's the first online broadcast network focused on African-American talent and influencers.
Right.
Okay. The roster includes 12 shows focusing on sports, fashion, entertainment, comedy, politics, music, technology.
I'm on one of the shows. It's called Next on Black Hollywood Life. Make sure you check that out. It's our affiliate station, and I interview a bunch of people that are really cool.
Fania's pointing to me. I am the vice president of Black Hollywood Live. Yeah. We have a great network with a ton of shows and great content. We stream all our shows live. Most of them come on Fridays, but check out our YouTube page, our iTunes page, Facebook, Twitter, BHL Online, all over social media. So just make sure you guys check us out and send us some love.
And see, and therefore she's saying, I will never have a spot on BHL because I read the script so horribly.
Well, what's the website, Fania? Redeem yourself.
What's the website? BlackHollywoodLive.com.
There you go.
Yes, Jamie Foxx, Taraji P. Henson, Miss Cookie. You gotta check. You gotta tune in. And Nick Cannon. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
We have a lot of dope guests coming.
We do.
Yeah. Like,
and dope host.
Yeah.
So make sure you check out Black Hollywood Live. All right, let's talk about, since we're talking about black people, let's talk about MJ. This episode, we see that she's still dealing with the death of Dr. Lisa Hudson. And she's done this in the past where she tries to, I guess, pacify some of the things in her life by calling Cuddy Buddy. Mm-hmm. So yet again, she calls handsome old
Cuddy Buddy. Which is not an uncommon practice, but proceed.
True indeed. And she calls him again, and we see some steamy hot loving. She keeps trying to forget her issues by...
she rubbed him raw.
By orgasming.
Right.
She rubbed him
multiple
raw.
Multiple times.
She's
greedy.
Can I just say that there was a moment, briefly, where he was almost out of my fantasy league, okay?
Why?
What do you mean? Why? A moment, briefly.
Why?
And then, he said, well, you came twice. When I was like, oh.
Mm.
See? Never mind.
And I was thinking the whole time... okay, clearly he's been at it for a while, and that's why, because Cuddy Buddy don't be stopping too soon, in my opinion.
Right, right.
In my fantasy, he's oh, never.
In your fantasy, sure. He didn't do that?
He didn't,
okay.
He didn't do that.
Yeah, no, he's still on the roster. Okay.
I can always appreciate a Cuddy Buddy who doubles up their job and being a friend as well.
Oh, you know what? So which is
he's
great.
He stayed. And, he cuddled. You know, he cuddled.
He spooned.
Mm-hmm. He was very, you know, that's always, you can always appreciate that. I thought it was hilarious when Niecy caught them because I just, it instantly flashed back to last season when she was caught with Corey in the house.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Getting it on. You know, Raven's little brother.
I was like, I love that you named his Disney show.
Right, because that was not his name, Corey.
That's how I know him. Corey Baxter. was
Raven's little brother.
Raven's
in the house.
Little brother.
Getting it on. And then I love Mary Jane's response to her when Niecy was like, well, hey, I want one of those in my pool. She's like, you got to get a pool first.
Okay. And she put her on game about resumes. That was a real moment.
So is that true, though? Does everybody lie on the resume?
Yes, you have to.
I don't lie, I exaggerate.
Yes, exaggerate the truth.
Hello. But no, that was not exaggerating no kind of truth on the SNC internship. That was literally a lie.
Right. I mean, like Mary Jane said, there are no rules. You have
I feel
to
like in today's world, mm-hmm. where you can't necessarily walk in and put on your sparkling personality and shake an employer's hand and get a job, mm-hmm. when you're just literally electronically one name out of 5,000,
right.
sometimes you may have to pull a Mary Jane Niecy move. Right. I would personally wouldn't do it because you never know when references is going to be called and they're going to check
right. That's my sister's phone number with my grandma's name.
Yes.
Hey, everybody, someone's going to call you
right,
for a
right,
reference.
Right, right, right. But you never know. Or what if they put you to the test? What if they just throw you on the computer with no training?
But when you're trying
you better
to
be
get
based
in.
On your lie.
You
better be
when
good.
When you're trying to get in, it's not like she was going to like a managerial position or yeah. like a safety position.
Right, she's and then on top of that, at least her aunt is the person right. that she would have been interning with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. And I mean, you know, just be a fast learner.
Right.
Don't lie if you can't hold up the lie now.
Because, I mean, I got an internship once that I could do something, and then I got immediately on Google and was like, how do I do script
right. coverage? Like, yeah. Or even you'll I get learned. A job, and your job description is completely different
Come
than
on.
What you
Come
went on. In and said, okay, I'll do this.
Yeah, and also define an internship, because as MJ's niece, she has had to go on personal errands for on
right.
errands for her
yep.
to like run and grab her food or run and grab
she's
her, like
hazed.
This.
Yep.
She's been hazed. She's
right.
been like
she's been hazed,
I would have put down nanny just because she has mom experience and no one
yes.
needs to know it's her own kids she's caring for.
You guys
but,
are giving
but.
Me ideas.
No rules.
What did you think about the way Tegan, her interviewer, was basically reading her about
Why
the
is
way.
Her name like that?
Because it was Tegan, because I looked on it. I was like, oh, I like the name, Tegan. Anyway, so how she was reading her basically about her life instead of interviewing her about the
yeah.
skills for the job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was, thankfully, I've never gone through anything like that. But that was a little polarizing to watch, because you know in real life that it happens so mm-hmm. frequently, and being a part of like this marginalized group that Niecy's in, you know, just being black and being a woman and trying to enter the workforce,
right. single mother,
and
all
then
that, yeah.
right, it was a little polarizing to watch.
And I think some of those things are illegal to ask. I don't know for sure. So if you guys
what
know,
did she
me,
ask?
Well, she was talking about her, you know, about being pregnant and all that. Like, I think there's
why didn't you finish high school?
Right, like yeah, I think that's okay, but I think
but it was,
when
it
you
was her tone. It was snarky. It was very, very
right.
There's not a lot
to
ask someone about their pregnancy or anything
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that.
That I think is illegal. Actually, I don't think you can do that.
No. So Tegan needs to be fired. See
well,
how did Tegan
buy
Tegan?
I think technically she asked her why she chose not to finish high school, and then Niecy said because I got pregnant.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
So Niecy brought it up. It wasn't a direct line of questioning.
Okay.
It might have been
okay.
inferred, but. Wasn't yeah. a direct.
Which is true, but I like how Niecy responded to her and was like, yeah, I'm a mother. I was late because I'm a mom, and
not
I hope you still
black.
Hire me.
Right.
right.
And I mean, I've been in a position where interviewing people, and I'm sure you guys have too, have met with people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what color you are.
Right.
People are
be
late. Especially in LA with the way there's traffic set up.
Yes.
Mm. You
okay.
don't.
I sat half an hour waiting to interview a videographer, and then I had, are you coming?
Wait, did you hire
him? Oh, they didn't voluntarily update you.
No,
you
ma'am.
Had to check.
No, ma'am.
Well, that ain't okay, because at least Niecy called and said, hey,
that's
I'm
the way
late.
To do it.
That's what you're supposed
you're
to do.
You're going to be late on rent for a day. You reach out to your landlord. You don't wait for them to reach
girl,
out
they,
to you.
Well, they
you
reach out.
You out. You already out. The
they reach out. It's not good.
Right.
And you got a nice landlord.
I know, right?
Where you live?
I mean, I've been speaking from personal experience, of course.
It's okay, Char. It's all right. We still love you.
All right.
Yeah, Niecy gets the job with the help of her aunt, which is really good. And it seems like she's doing something that she's going
to
be good at.
Because Niecy used to irritate the hell out of me. Oh, my gosh. And it seems like she's finally starting to kind of sort of turn it around.
A little bit, get it together.
God came and turned it around. And around and around and around.
Right. And so, of course, MJ is still dealing with the fact that, you know, she's lost her best friend, and she keeps seeing signs of her everywhere. She sees Lisa's name on her birth control.
And she's being extorted.
Right, and she's being extorted all at the same time. She sees Lisa's name. She gets the Samburu Project invitation where Lisa was supposed to be speaking.
My birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday.
In January 2nd.
What did you guys think?
I'm a Capricorn, like Blue Ivy and Tina Miss Tina.
Oh, my gosh. The Geminis get along real well.
What did you think was in that letter?
Oh, I was just hoping that it wasn't a letter.
Like a suicide letter.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Right. I didn't think it was going to be some type of invite.
Yeah, but then I did see that it was kind of a formal looking invite, and I was like, was Lisa getting married and we didn't know it? Because it was an envelope that just looked like it had something important
in it.
With the nice calligraphy. Yeah. I thought she did it when she was drunk, so she was, you know, on her way out. I thought it was a Dear John, I'm going to kill myself letter.
Me too, because in fairness, the way Lisa went out was very formal and very, she put on the nice dress and she showered and ate her wine and cheese and drank, mixed her pill, her toxic concoction and sipped her wine. It was very kind of, you know, not glamorizing suicide, of course,
but it did
for the sake of the discussion. It wasn't like a, you know, I stuck a pistol down my throat and ended it.
Right. So I don't know. I thought it was, oh my gosh, she's going to tell us like why she did it. She's going to say all these things and she's going to apologize. That's what I thought. So it was nice that we didn't go, because I think that would have taken we would have been back in Sadville we were last week for last week's
tonight
episode.
We were in Sextown.
We were.
You can't mix the sad and the sex together. I just want to lick somebody's face. Like,
I always go back and rewatch the episode so I can say, Siri, what's the name of this song? And add it to my Spotify. I love the soundtrack.
You know what? There needs to be like an MJB weekly iTunes track listing, because the last episode that we watched, I think it was 1 and 2 together.
Yeah.
The music was so good.
Right,
you guys know where we can get that or if it exists.
Just like Shondaland. Shonda Rhimes has good soundtracks for her shows, too.
You guys better capitalize off that and make a playlist on iTunes.
Okay.
Right. And so then, of course, Mary Jane is being extorted by Cece.
I love this character, by the way. I love Cece. Only because it is such a departure from what we're used to. I think it's safe to say, call her Aunt Loretta at this point.
Right.
What we're used to, what our Auntie Loretta normally plays.
Right.
So it's just so, I love seeing her in the villainous, because she has that little, like that little voice.
And so to see her
to see her being the bad guy, it's kind of like, ooh, you suck. And I'm glad that Mary Jane is reading you for points right now. You suck. But I like seeing, you know, Auntie Loretta as, you know, the bad guy.
I just hate when people do something bad and justify it using God.
Blessings on blessings.
Tiana, that actually happens, you know, every day.
Right.
On the hour.
And I just... I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Cece. I just can't.
Oh, I don't like Cece at all.
I like Cece.
You know what? I feel like there's a need for Cece right now with, I think it's, aside from her extortion and her calling on Jesus and living in the name of Jesus.
Bookstores.
I feel like our generation and maybe the ones after us, they're starving for this kind of like, wisdom, acknowledge, and exposure.
Right.
I feel like her character is kind of like a fairy godmother, the voice of reality. She's kind of like a Jiminy Cricket,
dressed in a bowling shirt, in a Grim Reaper hoodie.
Kind of like in a Spike Lee way, too. Like, all of that mixed together where she's like dropping these jewels of like knowledge and education and exposure.
But being the antagonist.
Right, like, and helping to like... get this generation desensitized from like the music videos and Instagram and rappers.
We're only one generation away from Jim Crow. Like she was saying like some stuff.
If you listen to what she says, it makes a lot of sense.
She be spitting knowledge. She knows what she's talking about. Right. And she says one thing that when she talks about the masculinity of women and she was like, this is a direct cause. It's caused by the abandonment from our men. So we've had to become masculine. And I was like, ooh, look at you spit some knowledge.
I didn't look at Mary J. I keep wanting to say Mary J. frickin' Blige. I didn't look at Mary Jane's approach as masculine. I looked at it as aggressive. And I don't equate aggressiveness with masculinity.
No, but I think that's what she was saying. You feel the need to be defensive and to be... You're extorting potty language.
In fairness, you're extorting
True. But, I mean, if you look at Mary Jane aside from this, she is very assertive. She's a woman that had to be on her own. She's had to climb to the top. It's very hard in this type of industry. So I get that. But I also understand what Cece is saying, that in our culture, typically women, the men have been abandoned. They've gone. They've left us with raising children. So we have a high rate of single mothers in our community. Mm-hmm. We have a high rate of men being in prison.
Right.
So I get what she's saying. And I'm like, you're right. As a result, a lot of women have had to become hardened.
But I get that. But my problem is what MJ kind of tells her is, practice what you preach.
Right.
Like, don't be a hypocrite about the information and the knowledge that she's giving to MJ is great information and it needs to be said to her. But it's also something where if someone like that's saying that to me, I'm not gonna fully accept what you're saying to me because you're not practicing what you preach. You're talking about the masculinity of, you know, black females and you're walking around in like baggy pants and like a oversized shirt.
One dress.
And you know, it's like,
maybe that's what she's saying. Maybe, because I felt like she was talking about herself as well. Like, you know, part of this is a result of me, of what I've gone through. That's how I took it. That's why she was spitting that knowledge. I don't think that was like, I'm talking about everybody except for myself. I think she was also putting herself in there.
I see what Tiana's saying though, because I feel like it's problematic with a lot of, I'll just say, blanket, you know, religious people. It's kind of like a do as I say, not as I do type thing. And that's when you gotta get chin checked. That's when you gotta get the receipt book pulled out.
And the person's not gonna receive your message as well because they're looking at you like, you're hypocritical. Why should I listen to anything you
say? But I feel like a lot of those people feel like they're coming at you with religious love, but if you fire back at them, it's persecution. You're judging me. They don't see whether it's by choice or inability, they just don't see the other side of the coin.
Okay, so of course Mary Jane does her reporter research, and which she should have done a long time ago because she knows how to do this. You know how to research and get in and find the stuff.
How did she get in that account though,
girl? She has those resources.
I'm just still mad she didn't tell her lawyer about this whole thing in the first place.
Or my thing is, why didn't she? Because I wasn't here for episode 1 and 2 when Cece rang my doorbell. You see this little handy dandy iPhone, hit record, have the full conversation, invite her out to the patio, record the conversation, boom, Cece could have been out of your life.
She didn't know what was gonna happen yet.
You know why? Because she was too worried about her Louisville Slugger.
She did have that bat.
The only thing she was holding on to was a bat.
So what do you guys think about this? Because once Mary Jane finds out that Cece has this bookstore, she used the money to buy a bookstore, she feels like it's outdated. There's no point in you buying or putting your money, investing it into something that's a dying breed. Mm-hmm. Mary Jane says that Cece is a fraud, but Cece says she's a survivor. Which one is it?
Fraud. She's a fraud.
I think Cece sees herself as a survivor because she's
blinded. What do you think? Is she right?
Is she right that she's a survivor? I mean, hey, everyone's got to survive their circumstances. We don't know enough about her backstory to really judge if she's surviving or what the obstacles in life have been placed in front of her. I don't know her background. I don't know her history. So I'm not going to judge that she's not surviving the best she knows how.
I agree. I feel like right now she's surviving through committing fraud.
But, you know, Cece's character is just too complex to me. Like, it's so many layers. But when she was in the bookstore, I shared this with the ladies off camera. If you all have ever seen For Colored Girls, did it remind you of Loretta's monologue in there where she was like, somebody took all of my stuff? You know, she was talking to the customer or whatever. So that was just my little tidbit.
I know. Loretta Devine has the best monologues. She's the person you want to hear. She's talking with the guy in the store. To me, I love this character. And I think... She is definitely a fraud, absolutely. She's a hustler, I think she's a hustler. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I also think she's a survivor because she's had to take lemons in her life and make them lemonade. Now, even though this is illegal, extortion is not okay, morally it's wrong, all that stuff, I can understand why she sees herself as a survivor, and she's like, no matter what, I gotta make sure I take care of my stuff, even if that means that I have to lie to you to do it.
Cheat, and steal, and she's only taking 25 because that's what she asked for from God. So
she's not being more would make blessing. Her a criminal.
Right. Okay. That's her and blessing. That but her Mary blessing. Jane did have a good point. Investing in a bookstore is kind of like, everything's electronic now.
I know, but I think there's something beautiful about that.
It's a sense of community.
Right, and especially because if you've ever gone to a Black bookstore where it just feels so lovely. It's not like a Barnes & Noble, but it's very like, you got your Sankofa stuff.
I've never been to one, but I was just in Barnes this morning, and I can always appreciate, I miss Borders. I can always appreciate.
We're going to have to take you to a field trip, for sure.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have to go to Inglewood, honey. We'll take you to these bookstores.
Because it's a sense of pride and ownership culture, and like, we just don't have it enough. So I like that.
And digital will just never for me replace the smell of a book.
I like doing open,
like, I love turning pages.
I like folding the corner. I like to fold my corner.
You guys still buy books?
Yes, I do.
I still buy books.
I just pre-ordered Shonda Rhimes' book today.
Oh,
hardcover.
Okay. Oh, you spent the extra money.
I don't really like paperback either.
Can you pass that to me?
I mean, Amazon Prime.
I don't really like it.
Could you get free delivery?
Okay, so then of course we see at the very end of this that Mary Jane finally reads the letter. She's really sad about everything. And Cuddy Buddy comes to her rescue.
What I appreciate about
Who
him
can
is
I run to?
Yes, from day one he has been trying to be there from her for her, and MJ has continuously pushed him away, like, no, that's not what we are. I don't need that. I don't need that. And she finally just gave in to his big muscular tattooed arms.
Chocolate.
Yes, and then he gave her the whiskey and a cigar, which, come on, how awesome is that?
Right, you share your grandfather's, you know, what his routine. You share that with her. Like, that's
such
a
nice story.
You know.
Doesn't make you want to make out with somebody.
I'm gonna go home and have a shot of whiskey and
you've been trying to make out with somebody all night.
She's gonna go home and have me a drink and flip through my Ebony magazine.
All right, before we get out of here, let's do a couple of predictions.
And now you're after Buzz TV predictions.
Okay, everybody has to give a different prediction, starting with
Tiana
Char. She's the newest. We're gonna make her go first. Go.
Oh my God. Okay, so my prediction, since they always piss me off and say this season on Being Mary Jane
instead of next week,
that grinds my gears. My prediction is, I don't know, it's kind of bothering me because I don't know how they're going to get rid of Loretta's character. But my prediction is she's going to open up more to Cuddy Buddy, and hopefully we'll get a name next week, because right now he's just Cuddy Buddy. And I think next week, I don't have a solid prediction, but I feel like it's going to be work-oriented, and it's going to be like maybe Clash of the Titans between Marisol and Mary Jane.
Okay, Tiance.
I'm going to piggyback off of what I said last week, which is next week Niecy's mom will come into play, hopefully, and because Niecy seems to be on the right track right now and going places.
Jill Scott?
Jill Scott is going to play her mom, so maybe she's going to come in and kind of throw Niecy off track.
Yes.
You know,
because
always when you up here doing the good things, that the devil going to come.
Come on. You better preach. You better preach. Yeah, shut up, Honda. You better preach, son.
Whoa,
Mia. Oh, you just said a word.
Tania, what is your prediction?
I feel like Lisa is going to appear in somehow. I feel like it's going to be maybe in MJ's dreams. Okay. But I feel like her character isn't completely done. I feel like we might see little glimpses of her.
Okay.
And then also, I feel like Cuddy Buddy's going to become like permanent Cuddy Buddy key.
Nothing's
companion.
Permanent with Mary Jane, girl.
But it's time.
Yes. Okay, my prediction is that I think Cece's going to die. I don't know what episode, but I think she's going to die. And I think because of all the knowledge that she's kicked to MJ, MJ's going to take over the bookstore, and it's really going to, like, she's going to be this person who, because we've seen Mary Jane spit knowledge.
News?
No. That's going to be her additional business. But she, you know, we've seen her before try to spit some knowledge, but she does so from a woman who has been privileged. So I think she's going to start spitting some more knowledge. She's going to take over the bookstore. I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
We like it too.
I like that. And I also predict we're going to have some people from the cast coming up soon. next week after that. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Where can we find you, beautiful ladies?
You can find me at Char Says So on everything, Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, Facebook, and YouTube.com/Char Says So.
And you can find me everywhere at the Tiana Hobson.
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat at Fania Thomas.
And as always, you can find me, Megan Thomas, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Periscope, at Meg Scoop, like scoop of ice cream. And don't forget, you guys, we love your comments. Let's keep the conversation going all week long. Go down below. Go ahead and put all your comments down there. We might just be shouting you out next week, all right? Use the hashtag ABTVBMJ. We'll see you guys next week. We love you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
Cutty buddy.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.